들어봐 나만의 소중한 이야기 익숙한 목소리로 지금부터 시작해 어쩌면 뻔한 얘기지 특별한 것은 너일 뿐 이 노래와 우리 둘 사이
Hey everyone, this is Noelle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dave Foxy Brown.
I've almost forgotten what day it is. Welcome back. Did you miss us? I hope you did.
So,
Dee, how should we start today?
What articles have you brought, actually?
There's a couple. When we were recording last week, a few hours after we finished recording, the earthquake hit Japan. First of all, I would like to talk briefly about that. And before we go into any articles, I would just like to let everyone know that Japan needs our help. We should always help out a neighbor in need. And a country, no matter how rich they are, they still need assistance. So if you can, please donate. The people of Japan would really appreciate it.
I second that motion, I guess. I'm actually going to be participating. Probably by the time this episode is released, I will have already participated, I hope. In a fundraising podcast marathon drive thing by some members of the anime community, which I guess is inextricably tied to Japan. So they automatically felt a drive to give back right away. And it's actually blossoming into kind of a big deal. So they're donating through Global Giving, but you're welcome to donate through the Japanese Red Cross or whoever else, whatever other charity you support.
And if you're from the Philippines, you can donate through the Red Cross. You can text probably later. If I can still find the link, I will post it up in the blog so you guys can have access to it. And if you can, please donate. I have already donated to the Red Cross, and I hope you find it in your hearts to give what you can to. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, first, the news. This is related to Japan, actually. Most of the news that came out last week, most of the big ones, anyway, are all related to Japan. Like, first is Beast. Beast, at the time of the article coming out, they were planning to release their Japanese album as scheduled, but they weren't going to go through with the performances. Apparently, they couldn't stop the release because the albums were out in the record store, so they just went through with it.
Yeah, the article said that basically the albums were in the record stores on the 11th, I think, which was the day of the earthquake itself. So they opted to, I guess, not recall them. And basically, if people want to buy them, they can. But Beast isn't going to do any Japanese promotions, I guess, until it becomes tasteful again, whenever that will be.
Yeah, we don't know when that will be. But I just realized now, looking at my notes here, they have released the album, definitely. And it hit number two in the Oricon charts. I don't know how many units they've shipped or they've sold, but it hit number two.
But Tokyo wasn't as heavily affected as the other areas, so maybe they still have money to spend on CDs. I don't know. I mean, you can't criticize people for wanting to buy them, because it's something as devastating as a 9.0 magnitude earthquake followed by a terrible tsunami that resulted in a great loss of life. People do tend to want to do things that make them happy, so they get their minds off stuff like that. And hey, if Beast makes you happy, I won't stand in your way. I do hope that Cube, though, goes out of the way to make a great humanitarian, you know, display or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
Because I've been keeping track of the companies that have...
Because you would.
Because I would, yes. Yeah, that have donated. And so far, the big three have donated. SM, JYP, and YG have donated. But I haven't heard anything from Cube. Now, I'm sorry, but in my eyes, that's a big no-no because you are the only company there that has released something throughout this tragedy. But well, I haven't heard anything.
DSP, Kara's single that I forgot the name of, is currently still on sale. They decided they were going to donate, I guess, all the profits yes. made from that single yes. to charity. And I think the members also individually donated money. So, but then this is a debut. Not to defend Cube, but this is a debut, so they haven't really begun making money in Japan, and I don't think 4 Minute is all that big, but they should, at least the members should make an individual donation. I don't know how much money they make, I don't know how rich they are, but, you know, just don't disclose the amount. Donate some money, whatever. DSP themselves, I guess donating the profits is okay, but then you could always say that the profits were less than they actually were. So it's not like the accounting system is all that great.
Yep. And yeah, I'm just waiting for them to say something. Like, I don't really care how much they donate, but at least make an effort to help out. That's all I want. I'm not expecting them to be like Kara and donate all the proceeds from the sales to charity. No. I just want them to have a show of humanity, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I feel strongly about that. I feel strongly about giving, especially if you're going to give back to a country where you're supposed to take a lot from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I've actually got something that I wanted to talk about. Cho PD, who is kind of a rapper that's straddling the line between, I guess, underground and mainstream. He did some songs, most notably with Brown Eyed Girls. At least those are the ones that I remember. One of them is called Hold the Line. And a couple years back, he made waves because in his song, I think, with Mae Dunny and IS, he had some lines about Big Bang and G-Dragon.
I remember that, right? He dissed G-Dragon?
That got a lot of the Big Bang's fans into a tizzy, which, you know, I expect, because A, they're fangirls, and B, they don't seem to listen to much rap outside of, you know, whatever idol groups deign to do. So they got angry at him, and I don't remember if he apologized or what.
No,
but
he did it.
I don't blame him. It's rap, dude. He came out and he talked about G-Dragon's composing skills, and he basically degraded them. Which, at the time, Big Bang's music was changing the mainstream, so it would have looked like a terrible thing. But now that Big Bang has come back after 2.5 years, basically, their music is the same as everyone else's. So, looking back with hindsight, you kind of see why if he could see that far, why he would have criticized them. But now, he's promoting a group, or about to release a group called Block B that's made up of several rappers. I've actually seen two of them freestyle. One of them's name is Zico. I don't remember the other one. I think it's Park Young or something like that. But I saw them freestyle on Hip Hop Players. I forget the name of the show. But they actually seem to have some skills, and they're supposedly being taught composition and lyric writing. And their main producer, one of their main producers, is this guy named Aspras, which, yes, it is a funny name. But I've seen and heard of him in other rappers, other underground rapper songs. And I was supposed to look him up specifically to see which crew he was with and what songs he's made. But I'll have to add them to the post after. But the kind of fan feeling is that, yeah, you turned, because he praised Big Bang as musicians and the work they've done recently with composing their own songs and writing their own songs, and people feel like it's kind of too little too late, and it's really, he's just saying this because his group is about to release in the next few months, and he doesn't want Big Bang's fans to turn on Block B because of things he said. So,
well, yeah, he just said that this week. And the things he said about GD and Big Bang, it was said a few years ago. So I guess it's a little too late, but at least he made an effort. And I read that he actually praised them, that they're musicians.
Yeah, so, but not as a group. I don't like their music as a group anymore.
feel the same way, but I still love Big Bang.
But they're supposed to have another album, I guess, releasing this year, and it's supposed to have big name producers that we'll have heard of.
Yep.
From the West, so I guess we'll see how that goes.
And we're not supposed to wait for an actual release date. We're gonna wait for a release season, okay?
Yeah.
Remember that, release season.
I say winter.
I agree. I would agree with that. Speaking of YG, 21, as most of you know, they've postponed their debut in Japan because of what's recently happened. But because of that, apparently Korea's getting an earlier comeback. YG says April. I say nay. So I say it's summer.
But 21 was actually in Japan at the time that the earthquake hit. So... as opposed to other groups, I think they would probably be the most hesitant to come back because they've seen or felt, really, some of the devastation firsthand.
Yeah, so in this case, one country's loss is another country's gain. And yeah, 21 in Manila, by the way, May 15th at the Araneta Coliseum. I'm watching, Dee.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm just going to make you jealous, but okay, I'm watching. Just letting you know.
You're not really gonna make me jealous unless between now and May they release amazing music, then I will be very, very jealous.
Well, angry. Let's hope they release amazing music.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, if they release the album in May.
You have a rotary phone?
No, that's just a ringtone.
Why would my father has the same ringtone? I can't figure out why anyone would choose a rotary phone ringtone. This is so annoying.
That's my boyfriend's phone. And I don't know, he likes it that way because it's annoying. That's why, because he has to pick it up. Okay. But yeah, if this album is the supposed album that's actually been produced with will.i.am, I don't know. How do you feel about will.i.am's music?
I think how I feel about his music would be too long for this podcast. But basically, in terms of Black Eyed Peas, they were initially underground backpack type rappers. And I will freely admit, I didn't know them that well until I saw their video on MTV for Request Line with Macy Gray, which is probably the only song I like Macy Gray in, but it's one of my favorite songs all time, hands down. And I got into their earlier music because of that. And then they got Fergie, which... unlike what most people will try to say, it wasn't, you know, an immediate downward slide. But Ella Funk was good. The album after that was okay. Everything released past that point has been terrible. It's just been, pardon the French, electro shit, as you call it.
Yep.
And it's been what Big Bang has been becoming, what 21's music is like, though it's not their fault. They haven't been around that long. That's the direction the company's going in. And a lot of the music, actually, in mainstream K-pop is leaning towards electropop. So, I mean, I really hope that there's a next big wave. And I was surprised at how much I like the new Dong Bang Shinki song.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels... I didn't listen to the link when you sent it to me before.
Gosh,
I just listened today.
You know what?
Listen, I just listened today when they were performing it, okay? And
I can't believe you didn't listen when I told you a couple of times to listen. Oh my goodness.
Look, I don't like them. I'm not gonna listen just because you say to. You're a fangirl, I can't, you know, take what you say as gospel, but I did watch the performance from I guess what's the day? The 18th?
Yeah, last night in Korea. So it was the 18th. Yes. Yeah.
The song reminds me of, yes, because it's still the 18th here. The song reminds me kind of like, I wouldn't say old school R&B, but it sounds more like a sexy time kind of song.
Yes, it is.
And with the choreography, I was really surprised that KBS of all channels would allow it. Maybe by next week they'll figure out what the hands on the crotches mean, and they'll tell them they need to change that. But you know, as for now, I don't think it's the best song currently being promoted. I think by now, by episode 2, we all know what I think the best song is, but we know that's not gonna win. So I would prefer Before You Go to win instead.
Yep.
I will make the effort to watch the music video at some point.
Oh my goodness. I posted it on the blog, and you didn't watch it.
I didn't want to. I told you I don't like them.
You should have believed me when I said it was different. Because, okay, DBSK fans, fangirls, fanboys, fans of all ages. I like DBSK, but unfortunately, if you make me rank them, those two would end up in the bottom. But I still like DBSK as a group. I'm not going to go into the whole JYJ DBSK thing because you would have figured out by now where my heart lies. Okay? But this song made me have a newfound respect in them. It's, how do I explain it? It's like I've rediscovered Changmin and Yuno. And you should see my face. I have this big smile on my face right now talking about them. Like,
just like all the little fangirls in the audience with their sexually charged screaming. It was all, it's kind of creepy if you're not used to it. And also if you know the general age of the people that are watching the show live, it's like doubly creepy because you know that most of them are in high school, if not middle school. So yeah. I'm sure that KBS will require some sort of editing to protect the minors that may be exposed to this song.
Minors, don't go to the show so I can watch in peace.
They don't want them to be exposed to sexual thoughts very early on. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks, I guess. Hopefully they win. They start winning awards because unlike the last song, this one actually deserves it.
Yes, I agree. I've mentioned before that this, out of all the songs in the album, is my favorite song. And I'll be very honest, I've played this song more than Keep Your Head Down. Even if Keep Your Head Down has been out for quite a while now.
So are you going to buy this album? Have you bought this album?
Yes, but I'm going to buy the physical album too.
So what's next in the news?
What's next in the news? JYJ. They had their first fan meeting. Nothing interesting there. It's exclusive for their fan club members. It's a bit sad because they have their own fan club now. It's not like, you know, DBSK's fan club is Cassiopeia, but they kind of have their own fan club now.
Well, it's to be expected, really. Yeah. They're separate from the company. You would think that Cassiopeia, despite being sort of their own organization, it's kind of tied to SM and to the name. While you probably have fans in both camps, both remaining with the two guys as well as wanting to be in the fan club of JYJ, as well as you might have people that just split up because that's when they were creating a new fan club, I think that's what people feared, that it would split the fan base between people who were Changmin and Yuno fans and people who were JYJ fans.
Yeah.
So that's probably happened to some degree, probably not as dramatically as people assume.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And also, related to JYJ, they had another hearing between them and SM Entertainment on the 15th.
That was, okay, yeah. How'd that go? Or no news?
No verdict. No verdict, because they wanted to call another witness. I think this one's from Japan now. Someone who deals with finances, kind of like their last witness. Nothing really specific there. So no verdict. We have to wait until April 19th. Then I don't know. Maybe it will drag on. Maybe they will get a resolution. I hope this just ends now, soon. Because it's just painful for everyone involved. It's really, really hard. It's hard for the artists. It's hard for the fans. It's hard for everyone supporting them. Supporting both Yuno and Changmin and JYJ. So I really hope everyone meets on the same page, which is quite impossible because this is, in a way, this will be a landmark decision in Korea if they win. So I just hope that this all works out for the best for everyone involved.
And speaking of split fan bases, I think it was in the past week, but Jay Park, formerly of 2PM, he issued another apology, I guess. This one, a formal apology to... I think the JYP specifically to the members of 2PM and to JYP Entertainment and, of course, the fans, saying that he was sorry about the issue that he basically caused. And he said that while his rapid withdrawal from the group was probably hard for a lot of people, and it's not the decision that the agency apparently wanted him to make, he felt it was best and it worked out for everyone involved, I guess. And after his apology, I don't remember the name of the overseeing agency, but they basically unblacklisted him so he would be able to perform when he releases his album, which I think is going to be next month. And he also had an interview recently. I forget which magazine. I'm really bad at remembering because I don't save articles. But his tone, and of course it's in print, so he may not be as bad as the print words made him seem, but his tone came off really not flippant necessarily, but he came off like he didn't really care about what people thought of the situation. And he said that what happened was in the past and it mm-hmm. should stay there. But that's fine if you're a private figure. If you're a regular citizen and you did something and it's been covered up, it's fine for you to say, you know, I did this, I grew up, I'm past it. As a public figure, on the other hand, people are always going to want to know. And while we may respect your privacy, at the same time, you know,
you know what's coming.
You leaving 2 p.m. affected a lot of people. And if it doesn't mm-hmm. come out now in 2011, it will come out at some point. Because there are, you can't hide things forever.
Yes.
Even though you may try.
And right now, seriously, I want to know what he did. Don't you want to know? I'm curious, because I'm human, right? And the way he spoke about what happened.
I do want to know, but I don't think I'll be happy when I know. Like, I don't think I'll feel like, well, all right, this makes sense, you know? I feel like it's going to be something that we're just going to be upset. Like, whether we're upset because it was something really terrible and really the guy shouldn't be in entertainment, or we're going to be upset because it's kind of, oh, that's it? That's all he did sort of situation.
Are we going to throw conspiracy theories here and try to figure out
that? I'd rather not, because we're trying to be rational. So let's not get off on speculation, on crazy, wild speculation, which is yeah. where we'd end up.
Yep. Remember the flowchart? The flowchart I just posted. Yeah. I remember just now. Jaehyun. Yes. Chang Jaehyun. Remember in the last episode, we said that they found the letters with the names of the devils involved. They have proven that the letters were fake, fabricated, which doesn't really come as a surprise to me, really, because you're dealing with powerful people here. And it may or may not be fabricated, but the experts say it was fabricated. So, yeah, it's really sad. Really sad for her.
SBS's experts said one thing. They said it matched with her handwriting, her style of writing. And this national forensic something that starts with S, they said they matched it up against her autographs. Which I guess was their only sample, but even though that seems odd, that it seems like if a person wrote many letters to her friend in prison, she probably kept a fairly in-depth diary. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there would be that available in her possessions after she killed herself, and it came to light that this might have been as a result of a crime or years of crimes, really. So despite them saying it's fake, I think a lot of people still want to believe that, even if it's not these men that we've heard of, that her claims were true, because the way she died, and there have been a lot of actresses that have died because of torment, whether it was inner or outward, but you just can't help but want justice for them.
Yes.
And You want to not act rashly. You don't want to condemn people that aren't involved. But at the same time, when a list comes out because one person is determined to not let her die in vain, and then pretty much a day after people see a portion of the list, the police are suddenly condemning it as fake, even though they themselves were investigating it. And I think they've been holding on to it for over a year. And SBS's putting their own experts on it was basically what brought it back to public consciousness and mm-hmm. thrust it in the spotlight again.
Yeah.
And they've backpedaled as well. They came out a couple of days ago and they apologized for misleading the public, basically, because the police's forensics people or consultants that they use came out and said, you know, it's 100% fake. And it even seems like they'll probably, at the end of this, they'll probably investigate the guy who was in jail further. And it's sad because he has no recourse. He's already in the system.
Yes.
So they're going to say that he, as a criminal, faked these letters as a way to get revenge on society or whatever. And because he's going up against public people, he'll probably be hit with libel or slander or whatever. And that'll just add, of course, to whatever fraud charges they want to bring up against him. So, you know, if he's been honest, if he really did receive these letters from her, they're written in her own hand, it's tragic that he would be punished even more just for trying to let the truth get to light.
Yep. Now, my personal feelings on this, I'm really disappointed, and I think they're just covering it up. But that's just my thoughts. That's how I feel.
I think a lot of people want to feel that way. They want to believe that that these letters are true, because the way she died, the events surrounding it, and it came out right away after she died, that she was being made to act as a prostitute, basically. And there's been probably a lot of rage bubbling under the surface that they've had nothing to direct it towards, and now they have this list. But because the men on it are so wealthy, so powerful, it's inevitably, in that kind of society, it's inevitably going to get brushed under the rug, and more people are likely going to be abused by these same men. So there's a feeling of, if we could get rid of this, if we could nip this in the bud, well, as much as it could be the bud, years after several people have already died, but if we could put a stop to this, you know, we'll feel like we've accomplished something. The music that we listen to wouldn't feel so tainted, I guess. The TV shows, the movies that we watch wouldn't be cast in this bad light, because we know about the casting couch, basically, that it took for people to get in this role.
That's how it is, you know. It's always like that. Someone has to sacrifice. And that's not the right way to do things. And I just hope, I really, really hope that she finds justice. Not just for herself, but for all these entertainers who have gone through the same experience. So, yeah. We're a bit serious today, aren't we?
Well, I think it's because the serious tone of last week has been crossed over, carried over. I mean, in the wake of a disaster, yeah. and the kind of news that we got about Jang Chaeyoung's case, you know, you can't help but feel a little melancholic, but I think for our free talk, because I didn't come up with a topic, I forgot. We promised we were going to talk about M Black, or what is it? Music Boys Live in Absolute Quality.
Yes. I was laughing when I first heard that earlier.
We're going to talk about those kids.
Kids. Yes, kids. That name just stuck in my mind right now.
Oh. It's Rain. They're the first group produced by Rain and his J-Tune camp label. Right, because Rain is going to the army shortly, probably by the end of this year. He's the major stakeholder in his music company that he signed under, and I think there's also a parent company that also goes by the name of J-Tune. I'm not too sure on how that works, but he sold, I guess, a stake in the company to his mentor, JYP, and as a show of good faith, I think, it was said that JYP signed under J-Tune and that Miss A, who previously were with AQ Entertainment, I think, transferred over as well. But that hasn't quite been confirmed. So right now, we're going to talk about the Music Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the members as they stand right now are the leader Sungho. There's the extremely talented vocalist Gio, who I cannot remember the name of his group that he was in. It starts with T.
Ty Keys.
Gio debuted with Ty Keys. And you have Lee Jun, who you could also see in Ninja Assassin, which starred Rain. It was an English movie by the Wachowski brothers, and for someone who doesn't speak English, Lee Jun did decently.
And yeah, I liked his moments in the movie because I shall say this now, that boy is hot.
He is fairly easy to look at, and he has he may not be a great actor, I'm not sure, but he has a lot of ability to portray his emotions in his eyes. And the people that are fans of Amleck, they had, I think, had a time adjusting to Lee Joon initially, because he was mostly the guy consistently flashing his abs, and he seemed like a proud gentleman. And you know, most K-pop artists, you learn over time that they're fairly humble people, and you shouldn't really judge them by your initial view.
Yeah, it's just an image, remember, girls. Image. In K-pop, image is everything.
You have Thunder, who is, yeah, I'm not, but he will get back to him, basically.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's the younger brother of 21's Sandara. And you have Mirror, who is also the younger brother of someone famous. His sister is an actress named Go Yuna. And the last two are basically the rappers of the group, and the previous three are vocalists. And Sungho, I'm just going to give him props now. When Mirror, I think, when he was injured recently, Sungho took over his raps. But Sungho seems to have the widest range of talent in terms of musically.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently also able to beatbox. So in terms of talent, I will put Gio and Sungho in a box and say I approve.
I agree. And,
yeah, let's not go much further than that.
Yeah.
Lee Joon, just to talk about him briefly. There was this hype, I think, over the Chinese New Year celebration TV shows,
yep,
that he was going to do a special sexy dance. And they really overuse the word sexy. It does not mean what they think it means. With Gahi, the leader of After School, and really that was
that's was sexy.
It was sad. I think it wasn't a bad dance. It wasn't poorly choreographed, I guess, but it just felt like with the two of them, there was so much more potential for awesome that they never really utilized.
Yeah, it was too short. It wasn't even 5 minutes.
I feel like they probably cut their dance for time. It's possible that it was a lot sexier in the studio.
You know what I remember about that performance? It was all the drama about what Gahi was wearing.
Yeah.
Jesus,
all people wanted to talk about. She was wearing a flesh-colored top, basically.
Yeah.
So when you looked at it initially, it looked like she was topless. And I think some of the boys in the audience were reacting to that, because initially when she comes out, she looks like she's bearing it all, which she's not. Because that would have never aired on TV.
And we won't be talking about it. We wouldn't have seen it. But
no.
There was nothing wrong with her top. No. It was normal. It was okay. She wasn't really showing that much skin.
She wasn't really showing anything. But it was,
yeah,
it was sad because, you know, when you have two good-looking people that can dance, it's kind of weird to compose a dance for them. I think it was to Madonna's 4 Minutes. And was it?
Yep, Madonna and Jay-Z.
I'd like basically not have them touch. It was all strange to me. Like, lesser people have had choreography that involved more contact than that.
That's disappointing. You know, they like hyping things up, don't they?
And by lesser people, I mean people that let's just go out there. When Big Bang and Wonder Girls had their special stage, the first one, Taeyang and Sunye had that whole grinding bit.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that, with fan bases as big as they did, that was very, not controversial, but it was kind of a dangerous move to go with. Because that could have backfired really hard. And surprisingly, it didn't. And I think had they been more brave, it probably wouldn't backfire in this case either, considering that MBLAQ's fan base is considerably smaller. And
yeah,
the same with After Schools. I think I remember what the free talk point was supposed to be with MBLAQ as an example. Talented members of the group versus members that that contribute to the group as a whole, to the group's image as a whole, I think. And I want to put this point out here. It's neither here nor there, really. But one day, as I was watching music performances, my brother, who is not a K-pop fan, let's just put that out there, he probably never will be, he walks in and he sees, it might have been M Black on the screen, actually, he sees them dancing, and he goes to me, I know why they have five members in the group. And he says, it's because it's so they can form a V.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, really, this group could have had four members. When we think about it, Kim Sangbae, who was initially supposed to be the fifth member, he left M Black shortly before they were to debut, and he was replaced with Thunder. I don't know how talented Sangbae is. I don't know what he would eventually have contributed to the group in terms of vocals. But it's not necessarily his fault. Management, you know, probably didn't ask him if he wanted to be shoehorned into a group at the last second. But he's the guy that, if you've observed M Black, not necessarily as a fan, because fans, of course, feel more passionately about every member of a group than someone that's observing from the outside would. But they probably felt as though this guy, as opposed to everyone else who's, you know, already shown their talents pre-debut, is going to really have the most to prove. And I feel like he is very, as the word NH Media used, he's lacking in a lot of areas. I think that's the nicest way to put it. Yeah. He's supposedly a good dancer. I have not seen much.
No, I don't know.
I haven't seen much proof in the way of that. His rapping ability, he has a childlike voice, and I think the songs they've used or the parts they've wanted him to rap really have not utilized the sound of his voice in a good way, so it comes off sounding like he's trying to make up for a verse that his older brother originally rapped. Mm-hmm. Kind of in that sort of way that he's doing something that he can't live up to.
Yeah.
Which basically, I think that's tied to the whole idea of rappers in mainstream groups to begin with. Basically, if you can't sing, you're gonna rap. Or they're gonna try to teach you to rap. So
I find that ridiculous, though. Seriously.
It's very disrespectful to the idea of what rap is. But there are a lot of people, not necessarily isolating Thunder as an example, because that would be mean to him and that would be mean to the fans of M Black. But there are a lot of groups where the least talented member is made the singer. I mean, the rapper, I'm sorry. That would be stupid. But then you have groups where the rapper actually wanted to be a rapper, or he's trained from the very beginning as a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily he couldn't sing and this is what they had him do. G-Dragon and Top to mind.
Yep. What's with this in K-pop groups with groups needing a rapper? They can always use someone as a guest, like, you know, a song needs a rap. Why don't you use the many rappers in Korea to just guest rap in your song?
I think a part of it is that having guest artists, if they're from outside of your company, is expensive. Lexi found that out the hard way when she left YG, and she was now trying to recruit people to be on her album. So I think they feel it's a lot better to do it in-house. It's a lot better if the person's already in the group. And it probably also stems from the trend with American music. K-pop follows closely but delayed a few years the current trends in American music, and rap has been at the mainstream for several years, probably well over a decade. And the boy groups they're patterning themselves after, even B2K had a rapper, even though he wasn't that great, but he couldn't sing either, so
so he rapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure Lil Fizz probably wanted to be a rapper at some point in life, but
B2K thinking Did Backstreet Boys have a rapper? No.
No, no, no. They were white boy groups. This is different.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That was not to take anything away from Backstreet and NSYNC and New Kids on the Block and those fellows, but they were doing pop music. And I think what the industry has been more closely trying to mirror is groups like Boyz II Men and such that were doing R&B and more soulful music. But the term R&B is now so bastardized that I don't even know what it means anymore.
Yeah, it's a genre that's all encompassing in K-pop, if you know. It's difficult to use the term R&B now because, for me, the closest thing that comes to R&B right now is that DBSK song, Before You Go. And that's about it. That's it. Name another song, D. I don't think there is, right?
There probably are, but I don't listen to soloists as much, so I'm not really aware of who's doing R&B music from who isn't. I think a lot of them come close, but a lot of the ballads lean more towards the genre of soul, probably, than they do R&B, because they're not necessarily bedroom songs, that kind of way. But just back to the issue of contributing to their group. I think to the group's image as a whole, I think it's partially, like my brother said, they like using the V in the dance moves, and the V requires an odd number of people in the group, and 5 is a nice round number. And there's also fangirls like this person, right? And they don't want to admit that he or she is talentless. Because sometimes the person is genuinely too young to decide whether or not they're talentless. Some people's voice haven't deepened yet. They're still, because they like to add members to the group that are 14 and 15 years old, a lot of them still are going through the symptoms of their voice changing. So when they first join the group, they barely have any lines. Because you don't want to get a kid randomly squeaking halfway through a line. So maybe one or two for the whole song. And then as the group's been around for 2 or 3 years and their voice has matured, you start to hear them sing more. And sometimes it turns out that, you know, they were fairly or really talented singers. And other times it's just, you know, you can go back to not having any lines.
How old is Thunder, by the way? How old is he?
Thunder is currently 20 American age, 22 Korean, sorry, because he's born at the end of the year.
So his voice is, that's it. His voice is not going to change.
I think that's his voice for life.
Mm-hmm. So, and one thing I find creepy about Thunder is that when I see his face, I see his sister's face. I see Sandara Park's face. Of course, they're siblings, but still, you know, if you're a fangirl.
I think that might be what J-Tune was going for as well, because with 21, I think initially was supposed to involve Maedonnie Kim as well, but she left YG because of reasons that involved her older sister, who they basically told, you know, she was never going to debut. She wasn't talented enough as far as YG was concerned, but Maedonnie was, and instead of having the easy way, I guess, and debuting with what would have eventually become 21 or would probably have been a different group, because of the vocal styles of both Maedonnie and Park Bom being in the same group, would have forced them along a different route. But she decided that she was going to leave the company along with her sister, and it kind of left a hole which Sandara was able to fill. And I think it was so funny because she initially came over from the Philippines, and they were saying that she's only with YG to focus on her acting. She's not going to become a singer. That's not going to happen. And there were like 3 or 4 months of this denial that she was going to debut as a singer. She's the same age as Park Bom, I think, which is a year older than me. And That's considered really too old for a female singer to debut, mm-hmm. especially, even though, you know, with them, with Gahi and all that, it's changing. But then she debuts in 21, and it was funny because a lot of the Philippine fans were saying, you know, she's going to debut and it's going to be bad because she can't really sing. And they're like, I don't know what YG's doing, but they're not going to change her voice in a couple of months. And they debuted and most of her lines were auto-tuned, like people expected. But over over time, her critics have kind of disappeared. Not because she's gotten any better at handling her lines, really, but because she, I guess, is a charming person. She contacts mm-hmm. with the fans a lot through her through her MeToday, so yes. people feel connected to her.
Yeah.
So they're quicker to defend her and 21 because of it.
So Sandara Park, when I came over to the Philippines, I think she was just getting popular. Because I don't really live here. I live here, yeah, but I don't really live here. But when she first started becoming big, I just came back from Australia and. It was really strange because, hey, what is this Korean girl doing on TV? Is this what they do in the Philippines? It was really different for me, and I really thought she was cute. Honestly, she has a charm that I really can't explain. She's very charming, and even before she hit it big with YG, she has stolen the hearts of a lot of Filipino fans. She's pretty big here. She's pretty much a big deal in the Philippines anyway. She even released a few songs, I think, if I remember it right. And I have to tell you this now because I don't think you've heard any of her songs that were released in the Philippines.
No,
she has improved a lot.
I can imagine because if they were saying she was bad previously and... I don't think there's anybody out there that really honestly likes the sound of her voice, but it's not the way some people were when they first debuted and like when they open their mouths, you're like, please God, let them lip sync from now on. It's not horrible. It's just not the kind of voice you would expect from a professional singer, I think. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what I said earlier with Mae Donnie. If she'd been in the group, I feel like there would be no need for 21's music to be electropop, which I feel like they kind of have the need to go that way. One, because it was what got Big Bang to be as huge as they are. And
yep.
it's a safe bet because the company knows how to do it. But the company also knows how to make something that's a lot closer to hip hop. And that's a lot closer to soul music because they had all of M-Boat's artists. They had Big Mama. They still have
Gummy.
They had We Sung.
And
I think with two powerful voices, like Bomb and Mae Donnie, and then you have CL rapping and probably Minji as well, it would have been probably a sound that would have led YG back towards hip hop. But, you know, it's never gonna happen because Sandara's in the group. She has been for 2 years. They're doing really well compared to the level of their music. So I'm not here to say that 21 should be split apart and we should force Mae Donnie in there. That's not going to happen. And we're not just going to rip on the Park siblings. It's not fair to them. I like the Wonder Girls. I've liked them since basically their documentary was announced. Let me be honest. And mm-hmm. They're one of two groups. They're basically, Wonder Girls and Big Bang are basically the first two groups for me in K-pop that I've liked since before they debuted. They have really great singers. They have and they have Sunye.
Mm-hmm.
They had Sunmi, who, while not being having as big a range as the other two, when she sang within her range, she's a really good singer. And you have.
Okay.
What
are you going to say? Who's next? So
Yubin,
we're going to mention that one
Yubin
person.
Yubin is a talented rapper.
Yes.
In terms of she definitely has the right voice for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her voice is very deep. It's big and deep.
But you know, the only person left, and I'm not gonna get on Lim's case because I don't know Lim that well. Because she debuted, of course, when the group was in the United States, so you don't see her as often as you did the other members. The only person left really is Sohee, and Sohee takes a ridiculous amount of flack. I think she is of the newer generation of idols. She's basically the original person that's that everyone says is just there for looks, basically. And having heard her sing some other songs, it's kind of unfair to her. A lot of people that are diehard defenders of her, because she is, it's undeniable that she's a really pretty girl. Probably not as much as some of the male idol stars or the male actors. Probably not as much as they lust over her. She's probably not that pretty, but she does do well as an actress. But she has very limited range. JYP makes a certain brand of song, and much like I think we talked about it earlier, where Park Bom was supposed to be in Don't Go Home, but her voice didn't match G-Dragon's picture of the song, so he sang it himself. I think he would sound okay as a singer if he didn't try to hit falsetto notes and all that. I think it's the same thing with Sohee. If she wasn't forced to sing notes that are clearly outside of her range, but no one else in the group can really do it because their responsibility is for the power lines of the song and for the ad-libs and stuff like that. So she's left with what a fan termed the cartoony parts.
Okay, the arm on the face.
And really, that was that part of the song of Tell Me was really what made the song popular.
Yep.
Because she has a cute face or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It is cute.
And I think the difference between her, well, it's not really a matter of me thinking, it's obvious the difference between her and Sandara is Sandara is a lot more friendly, a lot more outgoing of a person, and Sohee just isn't. So it's a lot easier for fans and non-fans alike, I think, to dislike her because she doesn't open up to fans. She's probably at the point now with them being 4 years into their career where she will acknowledge fans, she will say hi to them and all that, but
I think by nature she's a very quiet person though.
I think she's sort of I want to say antisocial, but sort of like an
introvert
asocial person.
She clearly
doesn't like when the spotlight is forced on her, and she doesn't seem to like it either when guys show her attention. So I like the reason why I connected to her initially is because she clearly thinks it's as creepy as I do. Like, she's the sort of person that that doesn't hide their initial reaction quickly enough, so you still see it and then it goes back to the stoic blank face. So.
But you know, as much as you like the Wonder Girls, they have their talents, yes, but the only problem that I have with them is that they bore me. I don't know. I find them boring. They're pretty girls. Don't get me wrong. They're especially Sunyeo. She's very, very pretty. Natural too, from what people have been saying. But they're boring. I find them boring. I don't know why.
You
maybe
mean
it's
physically or
personality wise, I guess.
Probably has to do with the American influence on them the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then they've been separated from their fans for so long, and they haven't been doing variety shows every other minute. So you don't see them often, and then it's a huge difference from what they've been doing before. And then you always have people that have like big variety show personalities in each group, really. And basically, right off the top, we know Sohee won't be in any variety shows that will be good.
Look at that face. Look at that expression. Nope. She's just going to, she's going to be like that. Was that funny? That's how I think, okay? That's how I see it. That's what I think she's going to do if you put her in a variety show, though.
I think I think Yubin and Yeon probably have the most, the personalities that are most tailored towards variety shows. Mm-hmm. But because Yubin's personality is like the opposite of her image, they would be less likely to push her on variety shows. And then because they've been away for so long, they're most likely to be on as a group. And then that dynamic is harder to break up to make them entertaining. So yeah, they're probably more lacking than other groups, because breaking into the American market, you have to be so serious, and it's not really the same, because people with K-pop, they like their artists to be goofy, they like them to be silly, they like them to be dorky, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess it really serves to break up the serious mood of the singer on stage. Because when you look at 2AM, for example, the image they give off on stage is this serious, melancholy group. And then when you see them on variety shows, they're like balls out insane.
I so agree. But I respect the Wonder Girls because they went out for the American market and they didn't leave after a short while. Not like some other K-pop artists who just stayed there for a while and tested the waters. But the Wonder Girls are sticking it out. They're working very hard. So girls make us proud.
I think the Wonder Girls have also, they've gained more freedom to continue in the American market. Because Miss A was such a big success last year, it made it possible for them to say, okay, our biggest girl group can sit in the U.S. for a couple more years, and we can continue to test the waters and see how far this thing goes. Because you always have to remember, just like the Japanese music industry, you're not going to be famous overnight. It's not going to happen. So you have to really pay your dues until it comes to fruition, or until you realize, hey, we're just losing money at this point.
Yep.
And I think that's what happened with the previous artists. Their companies decided, look, there's no point in us losing money trying to push a door open that's not going to open. So that's they pulled them back.
But the Wonder Girls, they're a different story. They probably have a market. We don't know yet. But they're slugging it out in the U.S. And yeah. And I'm expecting great things from them, because apparently they have a real U.S. album in the works. Because I don't know how many times they've performed. What's that song? Nobody?
At least a million.
Sure. I'm pretty sure they're so sick of it by now.
They probably, I mean, they did have two different tiers last year, but they probably can perform Nobody in their sleep while in a coma.
I'm looking forward, because Claude Kelly is in the project. So Claude Kelly is a very good songwriter.
I think they said Darkchild was supposed to be involved as well.
Yes, so they say. And I love Darkchild. Lady Gaga, Telephone. There you go. See? The man is capable of great things. And he also worked with JYJ on Empty. It's one of the better songs in their album, by the way. So, yeah. What was it?
No, I was going to say, it's probably not what the discussion you wanted when you thought of when you suggested M Black. But they do have good music. Oh Yeah was their debut song, which featured what is probably Hyuna of 4 Minute in an uncredited role. Her voice is distinct, and you can't really confuse it for anybody else.
Yep. You told me about that. You made me listen to that, and I have to agree with you. It sounds like you're not. But I have to be very honest and then say that I have no idea about M Black's music. Because, you know, I wasn't really interested in them. I was forced to listen to them all throughout the week, but I didn't really. So I have to be honest with everyone and say that I only met the group about 2 hours before this recording. I listened to a few songs, and surprisingly, I like the songs. I like Oh Yeah and Why. Of course, I had to like Why. I used that as a closing song last week. You know, listening to it a couple of times, I liked it. Surprisingly, I like their songs. And while listening to their songs, I realized what Thunder's role in the group is. And I told you this before, Dee. I told you earlier in the morning. Thunder's role in the group, supposedly he is a vocalist / rapper, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I realized that Thunder is actually the official narrator in English of the group. I listened to a couple of songs, and there were two songs there that had him narrating in English at the very beginning. It's always Thunder.
Well, I don't think anybody else can speak English, so.
So that's his official role, the narrator.
But a funny story about thunder, and it's not really funny, but
is it mean?
No, it's not mean. It,
okay.
If you remember, Lin released a song, I think it was called Luna's Song, mm-hmm. and it's about it's really a way to make older female fans feel less uncomfortable with the emotions they may have towards junior singers. And mm-hmm. she talks specifically about Junsu of Dongbae Shinki and Taeyang. And on wow. that same mini album, she released a song called New Celebration. And this was the one that got a music video. And the song actually features underground rapper Doki.
Yep.
But in the music video, Thunder is the star alongside her, and he's lip syncing to Doki's verses. And there were a lot of people when the video was posted that were asking, you know, if it's Thunder rapping, and I'm like,
no,
have you heard Thunder rap before? It's obvious that it's not him, but I guess a lot of unfamiliar people may have gotten persuaded into thinking that his voice sounds like Doki. But
it's really funny though, and see, you're right, it is funny because Doki's voice does not sound like Thunder's voice in any way, shape, or form. So that's probably why they're convinced that Thunder is a good rapper.
Well, if they never got it cleared up for them, probably. But
yeah, probably, because there are a lot of noobs in K-pop, though, like fans who just got into the fandom. So if they watch that, they'd be misguided. It's like misinformation. No. That's not right. So if you're one of those fans, girls, boys, or whatever you are, watch that video again, listen to the voice, and compare Thunder's actual voice, singing, rapping, and narrating in M-Black songs. And yeah, figure it out.
M-Black as a whole, ignoring whatever my reservations are against Thunder, it's not his fault. You know, he's in a group, he's making money, he's doing what he presumably wants to do, considering how long he was auditioning before he got into M-Black. And really, if he's chasing his dreams, great for him. I'm not going to stand between him and that. But M-Black, I think, deserves a lot more recognition than they have been getting. Their last promotional songs, Cry and Stay, were both very good songs.
Yes.
And really, it seems as though their management either has a lot of confidence in them in putting them up against big name groups, or it's just bad luck. But
yeah,
I hope that at some point soon they will get recognized and awarded a number one, because I just like to see each group or each artist cry as they get their number one for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Because I like to see who cries in a dignified manner, and I like to see who just cries ugly, who just, like, puts it all out there.
Remember this. K-pop artists, they're trained to cry pretty. They don't cry ugly. Have you seen someone cry ugly?
Jokwon cries ugly.
That's Jokwon, okay?
But he's not the only one. There's one person in every group, I think, that they get really overwhelmed by the moment. It's usually the person that's been training the longest.
Tell me who, apart from Jokwon.
Don't make me remember. Some of the members in Beast cried pretty ugly the first time, but it's usually someone that, I mean, the girls typically cry prettier than the boys, because
speaking,
you know,
of
they're
Beast,
girls.
And, I remember now. Speaking of Beast, they came out at the same time as M-Black, and they're the next generation of idols, I suppose. Because first were the super idols, like, you know, there were, let's not forget about Shinhwa, but no, after Shinhwa, there was EBSK, there was Big Bang, Super Junior, and then there was a lull, and then came 2PM, and then, who did 2PM come out with? Did someone else come out around the same time as them?
2008, other than 2AM, I can't think of anyone.
But they're supposed to be one day, right? So that's just, yeah, just them. 2PM, and then after 2PM came Beast and M-Black. Now, surprisingly, Beast has done well. Well,
I think UKISS may have debuted with them.
Oh, we forgot about UKISS.
And
sorry.
SHINee as well.
How could I forget about SHINee? But I think SHINee debuted before Beast and M-Black.
Yeah, they debuted in the same year as
2PM?
2PM, yeah.
But I think their market is different. Well, it's fangirls, basically.
It
But their
is
music.
different, but
Yeah, it is different. So, but anyway, they're the latest generation of idols making it big. If you make a comparison between M Black and Beast, Beast is a lot more popular than M Black. And I think it's because of the way Cube has managed to give them the proper songs, the proper exposure, and basically the members. They chose the proper mix of members.
I think also what people's initial perception of Beast was as, I think it ultimately ended up being probably one of their biggest strong points in that Beast is viewed as underdogs because I think three or four of the members were supposed to previously debut and they
Yeah.
it either didn't work out or they were
Yeah.
rejected. So,
One was Big
and
Bang, right?
Yeah, Hyunsung was dropped from Big
Yeonsung for Big
Bang.
Bang.
With Junhyung, his problem was that Shin sucks, so that wasn't really his
It's not
fault.
his fault, no.
Dojun and Dongwoon were cut from eventually becoming either 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. I think most likely it would have been 2 p.m. for them. AJ Kiguan was also in the same thing.
Kikon was a solo artist.
Yeah,
That's
but he was also in JYP. I don't think
yeah.
he was in Hot Blood, but he was in JYP as well. And Q put him forth as solo. But it seems like he was always not as it might not have been known to him that he was always supposed to be in Beast. But in his music video, you see other Beast members. You see
Yeah.
them as his backup dancers as well. So it feels like all five they tried once. It didn't work out, and Beast was their opportunity to try again. So people always are willing to root for the underdog. So I think
Yep.
that's probably why they gained so many fans. Plus, people already knew
Yes.
them from this previous exposure, and M Black was kind of more strangers.
And also, for me, the thing that got me into Beast, the thing that made me like them, is because of the leader. You know how I am, D, right?
He has the eyebrows, I know.
Yeah. For me, and I don't know if you're gonna agree or disagree, but when I first saw him, oh my God, who's that guy? He reminds me of Top. That's it. And surprisingly, as I got to know their music, I like them. They are a bunch of talented gentlemen, I must say that. And I have to thank Dame Dr. Foxy Brown here because she made me listen to their music.
Yeah,
She
because
slipped in Beast along with the Big Bang stuff.
I believe it's the right thing to do, that everyone should be exposed to Beast. But I think it's the same way with M Black. Say what you like about Thunder's voice or Mirror's rap. I think it goes from song to song, whether or not I like it. But I think the other three members more than make up for whatever their downside may be, and I think, of course,
Yes.
as they get older and as they get experienced, they'll only make better music.
Yes.
So
I agree.
I think we could definitely look forward to the music they make in the future. I think
Yes.
somebody who gets put in management is going to definitely work with Thunder, hopefully.
Things may change. Everyone has hope. As long as there's a tomorrow, there is hope. Yeah.
To make him a better rapper. Because really, if that's what he's gonna do,
Okay. Not a
they need.
singer?
I don't know, maybe. But if they're convinced they're gonna make him a rapper, I think they need to get producers and songwriters who are willing to tailor the rap verses to just fix his delivery so that the lyrics they want him to portray fix meet the song better. Because it sort of feels like he's off tempo a bit sometimes. Especially live, maybe not so much on the recorded version, but live,
Live.
he feels like he's usually going too fast, I think, for
I
the
see.
song.
The only time that I saw Thunder rap live is when I linked you the video of Thunder subbing for Beast's Junyoung in Gina's song.
I have not watched that. I couldn't. I was scared. How'd it go,
I'll
though?
back off so you can live. Yeah, you can watch it quickly now if the link is still there. it's very interesting because he took over Jun Young's part, and I don't really have an opinion. So I'm
so
gonna
you're
wait
waiting
until,
on me to watch.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna wait for you to watch that, just because I don't really know Thunder as a performer.
I've watched them since debut. Kind of the less I like their outfits, the less I watch the song. Because
yeah.
I really liked Y, but their coordinators seemed intent on putting them in that.
Was Y the ripped shirt look?
No, that was Oh Yeah. Y was like the safety gear look.
Okay.
They had like elbow pads and knee pads and stuff.
That's probably why I was turned off, because I first saw them performing live wearing the ripped shirts. That was Oh Yeah. I'm like, oh God, no, what is that? And I did listen to them again, but I think I have their album here somewhere. I think. I have to look for it. Sometimes, you know, I like wasting money. But I've only listened to it once, and I don't know where it is. Seriously, I don't know where it is. And I remember I like Oh Yeah, but I like listening to it.
The narration in Oh Yeah is Rain.
Yes, at the beginning. I figured that out. So, but anyway, I like listening to their music without knowing who they are in this instance, because, to be honest, Thunder throws me off. No offense. I'm just not used to him. I think it's the image. I always see him as Sander Park's little brother, and I've seen his earlier videos with IU, and him being an M Black and being so... Is he trying to be Beastie? I don't know.
I think so. Everyone else in M Black is.
So yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
He even does the necktie thing that Jun Young did.
Yeah. We're not being mean here, girls. Okay, remember we're your friends, and we're two friends discussing how we feel, right, in a rational manner.
Yeah, we're trying not to be too biased against him. His name comes up a lot because he's an easy example of what we're talking about.
I thought they were going to say easy target.
No. There's no malice really intended against him. For example, Hyuna is kind of like the female counterpart to him. She has a high-pitched voice that a lot of people don't like. I'll be real. When she left Wonder Girls and Yubin was put in her place, it was like Yubin was the final piece. Her voice, being more mature, being deeper, suited the group better. And Hyuna, I think, I don't think her voice is going anywhere. I think that's it. And
her voice is squeaky, right? I think
yeah.
That's the right term. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
I think what Cube has done right with her is they've done what I've been trying to say should be done for Thunder. They've tailored the songs, or her parts in the songs, to fit her voice. So it doesn't feel out of place in what is clearly a more mature song than her voice can do. And, of course, they have other songs I've heard her in as well. The producer has made an attempt. Like the Bittersweet, the Brave Brothers song she's in, the song she's in with Navi. It seems like they put her in the song because her voice is what they were looking for.
Yeah. You know what? Bittersweet. Because I have a playlist that I play when I go to bed, when I sleep. It's most of the songs there are DBSK's ballads and Alex's songs. But mm-hmm. Bittersweet is included in that list on my iPod. Surprisingly, her voice suits the song. And you're right. It's the producer. The producer is very smart. The songs are tailor-made for her. And you know, one thing about Yuna, because I've seen her perform live, she has amazing stage presence. She may not have the prettiest face, and it's true, but she's pretty. She may not have the prettiest face in K-pop or in her group, because I believe that honor goes to the leader. The leader is pretty.
Yeah.
But Yuna, when she performs, it's like, wow, everyone's eyes would be on her. That's how she is. She has amazing stage presence. Yeah, she's very powerful.
So
I see it.
If we could say anything to the producers working for J-Tune, it's, I shouldn't tell you how to do your job. I realize that I'm not a producer. I don't have that experience. But I think when you have a unique voice like Thunder's, like Hyuna's, it works best when you give them the parts, not because they're in the group, but because when you think of this part, the only person you can think of to do that is this person with this voice. Yes. I think it works best that way. If they can be replaced and the person that replaces them sounds better, you've done it wrong. I'm sure if he gets parts that are suited to his voice, he will be a lot better than he is now. I'm not going to go out and say he's going to be amazing, but it's because I still think there's work he has to do as a rapper. But, you know, with musicians in general, they're always supposed to be improving. Each release is supposed to sound better than the previous one.
It's supposed to be a work in progress. It's supposed to be maturing as you mature in the industry. It reflects your current state. It reflects your influences. It reflects what you've been through. Of course, as you grow older, you gain more knowledge. And with more knowledge means more experience, right? So you're expected to be better with each release.
So there you go. I think that's MBLAQ significantly discussed.
Yes, significant. That was pretty tough for me because I don't know them.
You're welcome to go ahead and tell us what you thought of us talking about MBLAQ. I'm sure there'll be people that are angry about us picking on them a bit. It's all done good-naturedly. We don't mean them any harm by it. Not much. Mm-hmm. I've bought some of their songs, so there are tracks that I definitely enjoy. The single that they're promoting now is Again. It is also a good song. I don't think it's better than Stay or Cry, but it's probably close to that same level.
I think Thunder narrates in that song, right? At the beginning? Is that it Again, or is it Cry, or is it Stay? One of the new songs.
It is... You're throwing me off now.
With the first shot of Thunder, it's a pretty dark shot. Is it Again?
I think it's Stay.
Oh, Stay. Okay. I saw it a while ago, a few hours ago. Yeah, it's one of the songs where he narrates in English, of course. But yeah, like what she said, you know, we're not putting him down. And like Foxy Brown here, I brought their album, like I've mentioned earlier. I just don't know where it is right now. And it's not because I want to lose it. It's because my house is messy. That's about it. That's the only excuse that I have. I have albums piled up. I mean, right now you may have figured out that I love JYJ and their album is just piled up right on top of the shelf because there's no more space. That's how it is. Albums here, there, and everywhere, and posters. But once I clean up, once I get to organize things, I promise I will give the entire album a listen. Okay? And that's a promise. I'll give them a fair chance because I've only listened to a few tracks.
So I guess this has been episode 2 of the Always Rational K-Pop podcast. You can find us on the internet at Always Rational K-Pop Podcast .wordpress.com, and our email, in case you don't want to send comments to the site, is the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast @gmail.com. Yes, I was going for the longest possible title. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/arkpoppodcast. Either one of us will be willing to answer your queries if you shoot it our way. You're welcome to suggest topics or artists for us to discuss. We try to keep up on the latest news, and we mostly bring up things that interest us or things that stick in our craw, so to speak. So if you have anything that we've missed that you'd like to hear our opinions on, you're welcome to send those our way as well.
That's it. This is the official episode 2. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed talking about what we like. Okay, so thank you everyone, and have a good day, night, wherever you are. Oh yeah, weekend too. Alright, bye.
Bye.
No. 손 높여주던 날 내 가슴에 푹 하고 안겨만은 1년 만에 첫 키스 난 나를 주고 말았다 언제라도 걸었다
만나게 됐겠지 잊어 그래 모두 떨쳐버리고